That's just a pregame for Seek tonight, man. We're pumped about it. Can we say thank you to the worship team, please? So good. Come on, amen. Hey, would you just bow your heads just for a moment, please? This is just a great moment for the gospel. It's a great moment to just simply answer the question, like, is it personal for you? Not based off of religion, not based off of upbringing, not based on church attendance, not based off of coming to Believer's Chapel, not based off of being kind and walking old ladies across the street, but I'm talking, do you know Jesus Christ, man? Are you born again? Based off of his terms. It means repent, believe, and surrender. That's his terms. Recognize sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person has walked in that place of sin and shy of God's glory. And the wages of that sin equals death. That's eternal separation from God. We all deserve that. And when you understand grace, you understand a term that means unearned and undeserved. It means you're never good enough. Can't walk enough old ladies across the street. Can't be sweet enough. Can't buy enough people meals. Can't come to church enough. Can't have great church attendance. Can't give enough to earn your way to salvation. It's only through the cross, by grace, because God loved you. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you understand what it is to be born again? When we sing this song, Savior King, when we sing what it is, Lord, I love you and I worship you, does it do something to your soul? Does it work in something in this relationship that you have with Christ our King because of what he did for us, man? Does it move you to a place in your spirit to say, this is personal? This is personal. And if you know that the Lord is calling you this morning and there is just the inside of you is like, man, I am not born again. I don't know the Lord. This is why I'm here today, is I need Jesus. Man, I need Jesus. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know if I were to die in this moment, man, I know I wouldn't make heaven. I know I wouldn't. And then you're in the right house at the right time, and this is your moment to just simply say, Jesus, forgive me. I get it. I'm a sinner, and I need your grace. Forgive me. I repent. It takes three things: repent, believe, and surrender. I repent from my sin, man. I change my mind towards sin. I change. Jesus, I believe in you. You're the only way. My trust has to be in you. The only name that leads to salvation is Jesus. No other name. And in this moment, you have the ability to simply call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, save me. Number one, I repent. I turn from my sin. I recognize sin equals death. I get it. And in this moment, Jesus, I'm asking that you save me. I call on your name, Jesus. Save me. God, forgive me. Jesus was the payment for my sin. And I know and I believe that you're alive right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And right here in this moment, I put my hope in you. And I put my trust in you. That I would be born again in this moment. Lord, forgive me. Save me. I surrender. I confess that you are Lord. You are my master. You are sir, and I surrender to you. I get it. Man, if you're in this house and you're one of those who the anchor got loose and you drifted, I believe that this is a beautiful callback. I believe this is a moment that you realize the anchor got loose and I've just been drifting. I've been struggling. I've been walking away that's not honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And man, the anchor's loose. And man, I'm just drifting. And in this moment, it's a call back that if you don't know, if you understand, you know exactly where you're at. You know I've drifted. Yes, I know that I'm a child of God, but man, I'm not close. I lost the sense of it being personal. And I want to come back to that. I love you, Lord. I want to come back to that relationship where I once had with you, that I love you and I know you and I love you and I'm amazed by you and I worship you and I want to come back to that. Then this is that moment today. I believe this is a callback this morning for you to come back to him in such a way to say, God, I need to secure my anchor. I need to get back to my hope being only found in you, no matter what the chaos is, no matter what the cause was. God, I'm coming back to you. I know that you love me. I know that I do belong to you, but I've drifted, and God, it's time for me to return. Man, it's just a simple cry out to you. Say, God, I'm coming back home. God, I'm coming back home. Forgive me. Forgive me for the wander. Forgive me for the drifting. God, I want to be drawn back into your presence. God, I want to be able to freely just say, I love you. I get it. This is personal. And it's on you to come back to say, listen, God, I'm in. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Secure the anchor again. Father, we love you. We're amazed by you in this moment. This is just such a great moment in your presence for those who are coming to you and those who are getting called back to you. God, I ask that by your Spirit, you do a great work in this house. You do a great work in this house. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Psalm 46. Man, we have been, I love it because we have been in this series now. This is our third week. I'm excited for next week as we go into a different area. So we got to close it out this week. And, you know, when we look at what it means in the rewards of waiting, man, we have covered and we have looked at just how great our God is and just how powerful our God is. We looked, and listen, even last night, man, coming home from a friend's daughter's graduation party, it was in the Jeep. The moon was to my left. It was like that three-quarter moon. It was bright. It was amazing. Stars all around. It was just a great reminder as we've been preaching through Isaiah 40 for the last 2 weeks. And just when you see just, okay, every one of them is numbered, and God hasn't lost one. Not one's missing, and everyone is numbered according to Isaiah 40 as we covered it. And just a great reminder last night, and just saying, God, that just, once again, God, that's just how grand you are. That's your majesty. That's how powerful you are. And that's just what we can see. Like, we have no idea. No, the telescope doesn't tell us how far it goes. And when you see that God says, no, listen, I've got the universe from here to here. Man, I understand the stars, call them all by name. Not one of them is missing. I get it. I understand it. And you look at it and say, even what I see is truly amazing. And then you get back into Isaiah 40 where it says, listen, my understanding is inscrutable. Man, it's unsearchable. You can't get to the depth of who I am. And you come to a place to say, okay, God, if you've truly called me to just wait on you, you've called me to look to you, you've called me to have an expectation, you've called me to this place of hope, you've called me to trust in you. That's all inclusive to what it means to wait. You've called me to just to be still and wait on you. Last week we looked at Psalm 62, where it really is speaking about the soul. What happens when your soul waits in silence for God only? What happens when you believe that he is my rock and he is my fortress and he is my refuge? And those who wait on him, watch this. Something happens on the inside. And the Bible says it twice in Psalm 62, they shall not be shaken. They shall not be shaken. So what happens, watch this, man, what happens when everything around you is in chaos? What happens when you look at today's day and you're like, man, nothing makes sense today. Like, we have lost. Listen, reality is there are so many who have lost a sense of reality. There's a darkness that's trying to take a land, and there is this loss of common sense. There's this loss of sense of reality. I don't need to get into all the issues, but there is male, there is female. That's it. God created that. Anything outside of that is a loss of reality. It doesn't make any sense. So when there's a whole big long list that goes with that, and this is a battle that we're fighting today. But in the midst of all of the crazy, in the midst, when you're looking around going, where is the reality today? Where is the just black and white? Where is the common sense? Where is it? Someone says, listen, it's not that complicated. Why do we have to complicate everything? Well, we're not complicating everything. The very real enemy that we face, he's the one making such complications. And you come to this place when it can just be so chaotic and crazy on the outside that, man, it is our intent to say, God, what is it that I'm not shaken by it? What is it that I'm looking at the reality of the craziness that there are so many who are walking without reality that are making no sense because they're not in any type of common sense. They're certainly not in any type of biblical sense. And it's just crazy and it's chaotic. And it's just causing this amazing stir. But what happens when you're just like, no, I'm good. Man, my soul is good. And I cannot be shaken. And for 2 weeks, we've talked about how great our God is and how powerful our God is. And when your perspective changes in regards to who God is. And then today we look at just the simplicity of Isaiah 40 or Psalm 46, verse 10. If you just want to look at that one verse, it says, cease striving and know that I am God. Cease striving. Or your version may say, be still. Your version may actually say, relax. Relax. Know that I am God. Know, and again, that knowing is that I acknowledge, man, I know that there's a depth in me that I understand that you are God, that you are in control, that you are all powerful. You see everything. And there's this sense, this is the message today that I want you to be able to breathe again. Like you're like, it's going crazy. Everything's going wrong. What's happening? And then you come to this one verse, you come to this one chapter. I want to unpack Psalm 46, but then it comes to this big pitch of verse 10. Come on, relax, breathe, and know that I am God. Like, and then all of a sudden you're just like, it really is going to be okay. Like today I'm trying to get that switch, that shift to take place and all of the crazy and all the chaos and all of the non-reality and all the junk that's taking place for you and I to just get to this place to say, all right, I'm relaxed. I'm waiting because I know that you are God. The church, what does that do to a soul that is in chaos, to a soul that is crazy? What does that do to you when you come to this place in your spirit to just say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Can I ask you, right in the beginning of this, is what's it take for us to get to verse 10? Seriously, what's it take for you to be able to be still? What's it take for you in the middle of chaos and crazy, no matter even what's going on in your own personal world? Like, what's it take, man? What's it going to take for you to look at this Psalm 46, to look at these 11 verses and say, I need this. This is what I need. Man, what's it going to take for us to read this, for you to get to this place in verse 10 to say, cease striving, be still, relax. When you can speak, God, you are the God of creation. God, you are all powerful. You know, have you not heard? Do you not know the everlasting God, the one who from the beginning of creation, his understanding is inscrutable. It's unsearchable. God, you're so deep. And we can repeat that and say that. But what, honestly, church, what's it going to take for us to dive in to Psalm 46 and get to verse 10 and say, I know you're God. I'm good. It's going to work out. God, I trust you. Everything's going to be okay. What's it take to get there? Come on, look at verse 1, please, with me. Psalm 46, verse 1, it says this. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our shelter. God is our trust. Refuge, it means God is our shelter. May we come underneath him. He is our shelter. He is our trust. And he is our strength. The word strength here, it means he is our courage. He allows us to be bold. There is this power and there is an authority that we get when we understand who God is. God is our refuge. God is not like he will be, not like maybe. God is here and now. He is our refuge. He is our shelter. He is our strength. He is our authority. He is our power. He is like when you begin to repeat this, and I'm a big fan of repeating, read it over and over. God is our refuge and strength. God is, that's present. That's now. God is my refuge. He is my shelter. He is my hope. He is my strength. He is my fortress. He is bold. He brings courage to my spirit. He gives me authority. Like, This is all encompassed in the very first sentence. And then the second half of this first verse, he is a very present help in time of trouble. Either you believe that or you don't. He is my refuge and he is my strength and he is a very present church. Wow, what happens, we're trying to get to verse 10. What happens when right out of the gate, the sons of Korah are singing this song after they have already seen God deliver and God deliver and God deliver and God deliver. And they begin to sing this song. Like this is, Psalm 46 is this song that they sang after they had been delivered. After they see God do a mighty work, they are reminded, God is my shelter. I've seen his hand work. I know who God is. He is my strength. He is my authority. There's this courage and there's this boldness that comes. And I know that God is a very present help in time of trouble. Church, what happens even if today, if one thing you realize is I promise you that you are not alone. New Testament version of this is James 4:8. If you were drawn near to me, I will draw near to you. I love that promise. Church, are we going to grasp this? Are we going to get a hold of this? To say, God, you promised me in the Old Testament that I'm never alone. You promised me in the New Testament that if I draw near to you, that you who is everywhere all at once, you who is omnipresent, that means you're everywhere. There's not a place that you're not. You're everywhere all at once. But yet there's these moments that if I draw near to you, even though you're already there, there's moments that you draw even closer to me. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing God we serve, that he says, Sean, if you would just draw near to me, I know that I'm everywhere all at once, but if you would just come close to me, there's moments in me being everywhere that I draw near. You are never alone. He's not just a present help. Read the Bible. He's a very present help in times of trouble. And then you see in verse 2, he says this, therefore, the sons of Korah, they've seen God do amazing works. They've seen great deliverance of their enemies. And they say, therefore, we will not fear. One thing that Renee and I have tried to do from the very beginning of our marriage, we've been married 28 years. It'll be 29 years coming up in about a month. And we started a college and career ministry right off the bat. First year of marriage, we wanted to fill our house with college students. And then we went in youth ministry and then God opened the doors in mission field and God opened the doors to be here at Believer's Chapel. What a privilege it is. But my goal and my function, even as way back in our living room in the very first year of our marriage, was to build warriors for Christ, like to really build this sense of what it is to be a warrior, what it means to be fearless, what it means to not look around and be afraid, what it means to not care about popular view, not care about public view, not care about politic view, not care about people who are anti-God view. I could care less what people who don't know Bible don't care. Like, what happens when we are trying to build warriors? And a part of being a warrior is to say, I will not be afraid. No, I will not be shaken. And I love it because it is on repeat through Scripture. Do not fear. I am a very present help. Because you know that I'm a very present help. Because you know that you are not alone. Because you know if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. When you know the very presence of God, that he is with you, that you are not alone, his very spirit reigns and dwells actually within us. What happens when all of that reigns true in your spirit and something rises up within you to say, I am not afraid. I'm not afraid. Church, if there is reward to the waiting and we are called to cease striving, to relax and be still because I know that he is God, there is a peace that comes to say, I will not be afraid because I know that I'm not alone. He's present. And Libby referenced this verse last week during worship, and in Psalm 23, verse 4, if you could put that up there, please, because I love it. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though, like, even though I'm walking through it, I'm in the middle of it. Like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which means even though I walk through, which means I'm like, I'm right in this valley, man. I'm in the middle of it right now. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says this, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. Over and over and over and over and over. I will fear no evil, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why can I say I will not be afraid? Why? How can I even say that? I will not be afraid. Why? Because, God, I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. God, I know this. I know that you are with me. Church, what happens if we clear the clutter? What happens if we clear the distractions? And we really actually believe this. Say, God, I'm not alone. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Isaiah 41:10, please, is another great place to just this reference of what it means to not be afraid, because I know that I'm not alone. What does it mean that even New Testament saints, man, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of our God lives within us. When you come to that beautiful place of faith, that I know that God by His Spirit walks with me, man, He's with me everywhere I go. Do not fear. Why? For I'm with you. Boy, that's just not complicated. It's just not that complicated. Do not fear. Why? Because I'm with you. Who? God. Creator. Almighty. Everlasting. No beginning, no end. First and last. God. The one who holds the universe in his palm of his hand. Isaiah 40, we talked about that. God. Don't be afraid, Sean. Why? Because I'm with you. Who? God. Me. Creator. It's unbelievable. But I love this because it's on me and you to get it. It's on us to understand it. And it's us to believe it. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Church, what happens when you understand the beautiful reward of waiting is to be fearless. Is to be fearless. To know I'm never alone. And what happens when we just look at this and say, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. God, I know you're with me. Do not fear. Why? Because I'm with you. What a promise. What a promise. And then let's go back to our text. Let's go back to Psalm 46. It says this, therefore we will not fear. And look, this is how crazy it gets. I want to ask you, what's it going to take? What is it that causes us to be afraid? Is it is it us just giving people space in our head? Like, is it us looking at circumstances and cause of fear? Is it something of the dumbest level? Is it something so stupid that just causes us to fear? And what happens when you're afraid? It paralyzes you, man. It just stops all progress. Fear stops all progress. But what is it that causes you to be afraid? Tonight at Seek, man, the Lord has just put some things in my heart that I want to bring forth of a man who was victorious and then he let somebody get in their head. And it froze them. And they were afraid. You're just coming off of this mountaintop. And you let some knucklehead get space in your head. And it caused you to fear and it froze you. I'm pumped for tonight. Tonight's going to be a special night. But you look at this and it says, listen, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake in its swelling pride. Like, I love where the sons of Korah are in this. And they're like, listen, I'm not going to be afraid, even if the earth blows up, even if the mountains just melt. I see them, and they're like, wham! Like, that's normal. That's, I'm like, I love where they're at, like, their level of not being afraid.
when I look at certain things that make me afraid, I'm like, ah, man, like I'm supposed to be this. This is what I'm supposed to be. I read this and like, am I this? Is this, do I really say, okay, even if the earth would change and the mountains melt and the water, like the seas just explode, would that cause me to be afraid at all? But this is where we're supposed to be. When we know who our God is, what's it take to freeze you? What's it take, the dumbest, littlest things? One sentence somebody says, one stupid tweet you see in the Bible, or I'm not in the Bible, I'm sorry, online. There's no tweets in the Bible. I don't even have Twitter, really. That's just funny. Like, what is it? Because according to this, like, no, I will not be afraid, even though the earth should change, the mountains melt, the waters explode, and the mountains quake. I'm good. Nope. God's got this. I'm good. I read this, church, and I'm like, where's my level of faith? That I wouldn't be afraid. Like, where is that? And my other personal question to me is, Sean, what does it really take for you to be afraid? What does it really take for you to freeze up? And I tell you, man, we ought to be right here. We ought to be in verse 1, 2, and 3. No, my God is a very present help. He's my strength and he's my shelter. I know who he is. Never alone. If I draw near to him, he'll draw near to me. What is it to be in his presence, church? What is it to truly be in his presence? What is it to long in a deep affection for him, just to truly say, I love you, Lord, and I can't wait to be in your presence, whether that's Sunday in the congregation, which is a beautiful, beautiful presence, or if it's Monday morning or afternoon or evening or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, just to long to be in his presence, to be before him and cry out to him. Because we have such a longing for him and such an affection for him and such a love for him, to know him. And to know what it is to say, no, I'm never alone. No, man, he draws near in his presence. And I'm not afraid. Man, the seas could explode. I'd be like, God's got it. The mountains could just crumble and melt. Nah, I'm good. Six, please. The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. He raised his voice. Again, this is a setup for verse 10. And watch verse 7. The Lord of hosts, he repeats it, is with us. He's a very present help. And the Lord of hosts is with us. I love this. The Lord of hosts is this beautiful, amazing term. And host means the heavenly army. Referencing his angelic beings. The Lord of hosts, that is a heavenly army that does his bidding at his word. I need you to go down to my son. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I need you to strengthen him. I need you to encourage him. One of those army went. How much more so for you and me as we look at Psalm 46? There is this backup man. There is this plan that takes place here in Psalm 46. And it's just so beautiful and it's so clear. The Lord of hosts is with us. Even though it's just God Almighty, which is plenty enough. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is supreme over all the heavenly armies. And guess what? He's with us. You're never alone. You're never alone. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He is our strong tower. He is our place of refuge. He is that secure height. When you understand biblically referencing a strong tower, it means that place of that high place that brings security, that point of position, that advantage. I'm high up and nothing can touch me. That's what this means. He makes wars to cease to the end of the verse 9. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. And here it is. All of this in Psalm 46. He is a refuge. He is a strength. Even though the world explodes, I will not be afraid because he's a very present help in time of trouble. He raised his voice. The earth melted. And he is the Lord of this heavenly army, this host. And he is with us. And he is my stronghold. He is my fort. He is my high tower. He gives me that place of advantage, that secure place, all of this. And then we look at what we looked at in Isaiah 40 and what it means to really wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and they will walk, not get weary, not get tired. We see all of these based off of Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the God of eternity, the God of everlasting, his understanding is unsearchable. He is the one who holds the universe in the palm of his hand. He's the one who knows all the universe and all of the stars, counts them by name. Not one of them is missing. Man, it's all a big setup to get to verse 10. Be still. Relax. And know that I am God. Where are you in this today? If you're here, you're watching online, where are you in this today? The little things cause you to freeze, cause you to fear. Are we bold? Are we courageous? I'm trying to build an army here. It's my responsibility to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It's my responsibility to build you up in faith and not fear. It's my responsibility that you walk in this place and say, no, there is this courage that's raising up with me. I'm not looking at man's opinion. I love Galatians 1:10. I've been looking through Galatians and I find myself in 1 verse 10 where Paul says, listen, I'm not here to please man. I'm not here to get the favor of man. He says, I'm here to please God. Church, what happens when you and I are raised up in faith to say, I'm not here to please man. I'm not worried about public opinion or popular opinion or politic opinion. I'm worried about God's opinion. And in that, that does something to my spirit that I will be fearless and I will be bold and I will be courageous, even though it's just going crazy on the outside. Man, I look at what it means in Psalm 62, that man, my soul waits in silence for God only. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is my fortress. And in that, I will not be shaken. No, I get that. I believe that. I believe this right here in Psalm 46. All of this to get to verse 10 says, hey, Sean, relax. Be still. And know that I am God. There's no one like me. I have no competition. I have no rival. I have no equal. I stand alone. Know that I am God. Believers Chapel, where are we in this today? It is my hope that we can just be able to just take a big breath. Ha! You are God. Okay. Everything's going to be okay. But that's what this is. Well, Sean, that sounds a little more simple than it really is. I don't know if that's true. Because we're called to walk in faith. We're called to look at this and believe this. And all the crazy, man, and all the chaos and everything that can just take place in our soul, whether that's fear or whether that's doubt. What happens if we just land on this amazing, famous verse, Isaiah 46:10? Relax, be still, and know that I am God. Okay. I'll just do that. God, you've got this. God, you see it all. I'll do my part. I'll be salt and I'll be light. I'll be bold. I'll be confident. I'll be strong. I'll be not ashamed. Hold my ground. Okay. God, you got this. It's going to be okay. He says, I will be exalted. I will be in that honored position. I will be lifted high. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. And he verse 7 again comes back to verse 11. Same thing. He says, the Lord of hosts is with you. Jacob is our stronghold, our strong tower. Amazing that he just repeats the same thing. Come on, if you just bow your heads just for a moment. Then we'll close. And when you see just the one psalm that's 11 verses, but this is one of those psalms that just can rearrange, change. Very present help. I am the God of heavenly armies, and I'm with you. I am the God of heavenly army, and I'm with you. I am present with you, and I am with you, and I'm with you, and I'm your refuge, and I am your strength, and I'm your stronghold. Be still. Relax. What is it to take that huge breath? Okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I do believe that there's so many who struggle with fear. We're supposed to be right here. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for he is with me. It's over and over and over and over. Okay, I get it. I've been striving, man. I have been just going crazy. It's just been so much. It's been so much. And I believe the word for you today is truly just relax, be still, wait. Breathe. It feels good. I'm back. And just as the keyboard is playing, and Katie's going to sing here in just a minute. I'm just saying, listen, it's time. Just take a deep breath. Okay, God, I'm back. I'm done striving. I'm done with the fear. I'm done with the anxiety. You are God. And you're with me. And you've got this. Just remain seated. I just want you to have a moment as Katie sings.
and she'll dismiss, but just stay seated, please. Just let her sing over you. Like it's just time to breathe again and to know truly that God's got this. Come on.